Oh, yes. Powerful song. But the song has so much meaning. Do I really want to be a sacrifice? Do I really want God to try me by fire? That is a serious prayer and a serious song. And I want to thank them and the band for lifting us up and to the presence of God so that we can be prepared to be tried by fire. Because I can assure you that God is going to do it because he wants to use you. And one of the things about God, he's going to allow trials to come into your life because they're used in order to prepare you for the battle. And all of us have some battles to fight, and all of us have some journeys. All of us have obstacles and trials to overcome, but I'm glad that God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. And so, yes, we're going to be tried, but there's no better place to be than come into the presence of God so he can prepare us for this serious battle that we find ourselves in. But I am glad to be here in the presence of God one more time. And I know that God has brought you a mighty long way. Whatever you've gone through, whatever you're going over, and whatever you're going through, God has you. Amen. I'm so glad we serve an on-time God, a God who will never fail, a God who shows up, and a God who shows out. And so again, he will try us. That song was very, very challenging because I don't know, sometimes you ask God for something, you better be careful what you're asking for. Because when you ask God to try you, he will allow trials to come. And so thank you, praise team. Thank you, band, for that song. But it reminds us that God not only wants to allow us to be tried, but there's a purpose behind every trial, behind every test and obstacle, behind every challenge you face. God has a purpose that he wants to use you. And believe me, he wants to use you because the Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. It means God wants your testimony. God wants you to be able to testify that in spite of all that I've gone through, in spite of what I'm experiencing, we serve an awesome God who's a God of love, a God of compassion, a God of mercy, and a God of grace. And so I'm glad to be able to announce to you that I am not going to complain. I'm just going to thank God because he's been good to us. Amen. If he's been good to you, let me hear you say amen. If he's blessed you, let me hear you say hallelujah. Yes, God has been good to us. And we want to just remember that God is great and God is good all the time. We want to remember Sister Bert in prayer. She told me that she's going to be going through some surgery. She has some health challenges. She's here with us today, but we want to remember her in prayer. And we're going to be praying for you, my sister, that God will be with you. We're going to pray that God will cover you. We want to pray for Chiron and his family, their way. And we're going to ask that God will continue to be with them and keep them while they're away for this month down in South Florida, visiting with mom and other responsibilities that he may have. We want to remember and keep them in prayer as well. We thank God again for this service that we could come together and worship him. We thank God for you being here today and those who are online. And we just want to praise him by lifting up the word. We've given offering, we've prayed, we've sung, and now we're just going to hear from the Lord for a little while. And may God bless us with the word from the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, again, it is not by accident nor by coincidence that we are here today. You have ordered our steps. You have kept us through another week. And now we have come to the apex, the zenith of a day that you set aside and blessed for worship and convocation. And so, God, we pray right now that as we open your word, that you would open our minds. We pray, Lord, that you will make it so clear and so simple that a child could not err. And we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the honor because we need a word from the Lord. We need to know that it is written. As Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And so make the word clear to us today as we receive marching orders from the most holy God, the God who is I am. Speak to us, we pray. And after we've heard your voice, we'll be careful to give you the glory and the honor to continue to walk in the light. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, thank you, to our praise team, to our band, for just the music. Aren't you blessed by the music? I don't know about you, but I can listen to them all day long. They are such a blessing that they bring to the worship experience today. Again, I want to remind you that as we serve the Lord, there are some challenges that will come. And I want to look at Habakkuk in light of some of the challenges that we all may face in life. Because there's a question that he asked that I want to ask this morning by way of the subject, how long? I mean, are you going through something and you're asking God how long? I don't know about you, but I am in that place where I'm asking how long, how much more pain or suffering, how much more heartache, how much more must we go through and experience? In Habakkuk, the Bible lets us know that there's nothing new under the sun. In fact, the Word of God has such a perfect timing that it is a book that's never outdated. It always able to meet us where we are and where you are, the needs that you may have. I'm so glad to know that God's word is relevant. God's word is powerful. And no matter what you're dealing with today and no matter what you are going through, God has a way of speaking to us from his word because there's power in the word of God. The word of God brings direction. The word of God brings power. The word of God brings healing and understanding. And I'm glad the Bible says, David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. All scriptures are given by God and inspiration is profitable for doctrine and correction and reproof and instruction. So the man and the woman of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so we're not in the dark, but we're in the light. Jesus said, thy word is a lamp. In other words, he says, thy word is truth. He said, if you are my disciple, you'll know truth, and truth will make you free. And that's all we need is a word from the Lord. And there are people who have come to the conclusion that the Bible is outdated, it's antiquated, it's not relevant, it's not real for the modern person. But I'm here to tell you that if you would take this book and massage it in the heart and allow it to penetrate the medulla oblongata and able to let the word find lodging in your heart and order your steps in the word, it will give you hope, it will give you power, because we're living in a world full of darkness, we're living in a world full of sin. But there is power in the word of God. And I'm just delighted. I'm honored to be able to open up the book and let God speak to us, because I've discovered that I don't care who you think you are, there are some people in this world will never speak to you. They'll never say a word to you. And you'll never get the privilege to talk to them. But when you open up the word of God, the God of the universe, who's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and mutable, he starts talking to us. And I'm glad that God speaks to us and gives us the benefit of doubt to know his word. And so today, I'm glad Habakkuk asked a question that we need to answer. The word of God in Habakkuk chapter 1, the word starts off by saying in chapter 1, Habakkuk. Now, Habakkuk is a small little minor prophet in the Old Testament. And if you really don't know your Bible, you have to go to the front in the content to look for it. And the word Habakkuk actually means embrace. And so God wants us to embrace this word this morning. This afternoon now, God wants us to embrace his word. In fact, the word of God tells us in Habakkuk chapter 1, I'm going to be reading from the clear word, but you have the King James on the screen, and I want you to listen to what the word of God says. This is the burden. Now notice, it's a burden. This is not a blessing at this time. It's a burden the prophet did see. Now, in the clear word, it says, this is the burden the Lord gave Habakkuk in a vision. It's a burden. It's something that's pressing on him. It's something that's bothering him. It's something that's worrying him. It's something that has moved him to the point where he's not going to be sacrilegious, but he's asking God a question. Habakkuk says in verse 2, O Lord, how long? How long? In other words, he said, how long do I have to call for help before you listen. This is what the message said. Now, I don't know about you, but I would be kind of like very careful treading on ground like this. But I'm glad the Bible is real, and the Bible gives us authenticity, and it shows us the real problems of humanity, because deep down inside, we may not say it with our mouth, but in our hearts sometimes there are some questions about how God deals with us. I don't know about you, but there's some things I want to ask God. But the Bible says we see through a glass darkly, but one day we're going to see him face to face. And I'm glad, because I'm going to have a lot of questions. I'm going to ask a lot of questions for the first 1 million years, because I just don't understand some things. I don't understand, as we were talking about the lesson this morning, how a perfect being could decide to walk out on God. I don't understand how Adam and Eve could decide to kick dirt in God's face and to bring insult to injury. I don't even understand how you and I can continue to do the stuff we do after knowing how good God is. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know. I'll talk about me. I won't talk about you. I'm talking about me. Amen. I don't know how I can continue to do the things. Notice he says, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and thou will not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence and thou will not save?" How long, God? Now that's very kind of like, I don't know how much of the Bible Habakkuk knows, but I've seen God do so much for so many for so long that I now know he can do something with nothing, meaning us. So I don't know if he knows his track record or if he's just asking this because what's going on in his life. You know, it's sometimes those moments in your experience you get amnesia and forget about what God has done. I mean, think about it. He woke you up this morning, and I know this afternoon we already mad already. He put food on the table, and we're still upset about something that happened last week. I mean, he kept us from that accident where somebody could have run us off the road, but we're still mad because they got in my lane. I'm just saying, how is it that we get amnesia about the goodness of God and begin to question God's ability to provide or to take care of us? Habakkuk has a serious question here that we all must deal with, and it must be something that we all face. Because I love the way he says it in the clear word here. But then in verse 3 he says, notice, he says in verse 2, "Oh Lord, how long do I have to call for help before you listen? How long do I have to cry violence and injustice before you do anything to save us?" And then verse 3, "I can't stand such injustice and strife. How much longer will you," the Bible says, "put up with evil and let things like this go on?" That's a clear word. Law is useless. The judicial system is paralyzed. The wicked go to court and get, oh Lord, the wicked go to court and get the better of the righteous, and nothing is done about it. Now, as soon as I read this and I was reading this, I thought about in Georgia what's going on there. Now, I'm not going to tarry there long, because I know there's some pros and some cons, and there's some for and against, and there's some variables that we say, well, she did this and he did this. All I know is what I saw on January the 6th was insurrection. Now, my eyes didn't deceive me. All I know, I couldn't believe what I was watching when I called my wife. And I said, "JoJo, I can't believe it. Come in here right now. Look what's happening on TV." It was live and upfront and personal. Folk were climbing through the window. People were breaking the window out. And they turned around and said they were only taking a tour. I mean, really, I was confused, because if that's how a tour, if you can go do that at the White House and call it a tour, my mind said, wait a minute, what's going on? And not only that, the insurrection of January the 6th, but then the attempt to overturn the process of voting, to beg for and ask for votes from somebody in Georgia. I'm trying to stay generic, y'all, because I don't to ask for votes and to bribe and to say, all I need is a few more votes. And now it's turned around on the person that brings the indictment, and now She's in trouble facing issues because I dare say something about what's wrong, and now you're trying to make me wrong and trying to make it wrong for the indictment, and the indictment is clear. In other words, the Bible says the judicial system is paralyzed. Just saw the other day where a man had to take, he was sentenced to death, and he had killed two people, and that's wrong. But my point is, if you kill two people and die, what's wrong with somebody going into a theater and killing more than two people and keep on living? I mean, all these mass shootings and nothing happens to them, and yet and still somebody of a different color, darkened by nature's sun, does the same thing or less, is put on death row. The wicked go to court and get a better of the righteous, and nothing is done about it. I even think about sometimes in your situation, in my situation, how things seem like they just don't work out. I think about how personally I've gone through something, and something happened where, something happened to my son, and I couldn't understand why it happened, and I was questioning why it happened, and the truth was never put on the table, and predicament happened where things went a certain way. I'm trying to stay generic, y'all. Y'all saying, where you going? I'm saying justice sometimes is delayed, and truth doesn't show up in time, and you wonder, where is God when you're hurting, and how long? In fact, it's asked three times, how long, how long, how much longer, God, do I got to keep putting up with what I'm putting up? How long do I got to deal with a husband that's acting crazy? How long do I have to deal with a wife that doesn't understand? How long do I have to deal with pain in my body? How long do I have to deal with heartache and heartbreak and sin and destruction? Habakkuk, a human being, asked God that question. And sometimes it's all right to be honest with God. Sometimes it's all right to tell God what's on your heart. Why? Because he already knows. He already knows how much pain there. He already knows how much trouble you're experiencing. I'm so glad that God doesn't consider it an insult or disrespectful when we come to him, because he says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. And if God cares for me, I should be able to open up my heart to him and tell him I'm hurting and I'm going through something and I just don't know how much longer I can deal with it. I've come to the end of the rope, and all I know is I can't take it anymore. And I want you to know that God hears your heart and knows when you're crying out to him, and he feels your pain. He's touched with the infirmities of your heart. And my brothers and sisters, I don't care how much pain you go through, we serve a God who can sympathize with you and knows, because he's come down and given us his life, and now he is a high priest who loves us. And so you're not by yourself. Don't think you're by yourself, because God will answer when you start asking questions. Because Habakkuk says in the Bible, it says Habakkuk has a question. In fact, Habakkuk only has three chapters. And Jonah has four, but there are more words in Habakkuk than there are in Jonah. Habakkuk is a prophet, a minor priest, who is concerned about what's going on, and he asks God, do you care? Do you really care? Are you asking that question? Is your dilemma so bad right now that you're going through something and you're asking God, do you really care about me? It feels like I'm all by myself. It seems like nobody is helping me and nobody is reaching out to me, and it seems like nobody cares. That's his problem. But then the Lord said, that's verse 5. Then the Lord said, you see, one thing about it, God will answer. Then the Lord said, you got to be careful when God start talking, because Job dared open up his mouth and had a problem also with the timing of God. And he said, God, where were you? God, he said, Job, wait a minute. Now, you asked me some questions. Now I'm going to ask you, where were you when I did this? Where were you, Job, when I did this? Where were you, Job? And the Bible says, and the Lord said to me, keep your eyes on the nations around you. You want to know what I'm about to do? Well, open up your eyes. Keep watching. I'm going to do something. I'm not going to let justice sit on the table forever. I'm about to do something right now. And he asked the question, and God answers him. And there are two questions that Habakkuk asked. Number one, are you going to do something about what's going on in my life? Are you going to ever come to my rescue? Are you ever going to help me? That's the first question. Are you concerned about my pain? Are you concerned about my trials? Are you concerned about the fact that I grew up in a situation that I never asked for? Are you concerned about my poverty and my pain and my heartache? That's what he's asking. And most of us, if we're honest, we're dealing with things that we had no control over, no power over, and it happened to us, and we're here, and now we got to deal with it. Got to deal with it. Some of us are in situations that we did not volunteer for, didn't stand in line, didn't take a number and say, I'll do it. And that's why this song was so moving. Lord, I want you to try me in fire. I'm like, Lord, hold on. Is there another way to do this? Can we use water maybe? Do we have to use fire? I've got to use fire because what I'm about to do is a finished work in your life, but you got to hold on, and I want you to know that I'm going to do something, but what I'm about to do, you may not like it. And this is what God says to Habakkuk. Then the Lord said to me, keep your eyes on the nations around you, and you'll be surprised at what you see. I am about to do something that you will not believe when I tell you about it. I will bring the Babylonians to power. You see, first of all, it's easy to point your finger at somebody else and say what they're doing and forget about what God needs to do for you. Let me say that again. You know, it's easy to look at somebody else and say, you're not doing this, and you're not doing that, and you're not doing this. And it's easy to point the finger at everybody around you. But then when it comes to maybe God wants to deal with you on this situation, and maybe the circumstance is such that God needs to do something in your life, and maybe you're missing it. That's why your eyes are focused. And now he says, wait a minute. What I need you to do is keep your eyes on the nations around you. Don't look at, in other words, I need you to watch what I'm about to do. I'm about to do something that's going to shock you, that's going to mess you up, because you don't believe I care. I care. But when I start moving, I may not move the way you want me to move, but I'm going to be what I need to be, and I'm going to do what I need to do, because I'm God all by myself. There's none other, and there's none like me. And I know what I need to do in your life. I'm glad that I serve a God who knows what he needs to do in my life. And whatever it is, God, give me the patience, give me the love, give me the joy, give me the peace so that I can wait on the Lord and keep my eyes stayed on him opposed to complaining about my situation. The Bible says this is the will of God, that you pray, that you rejoice, and that you always are thankful. That's what the Bible says. In other words, whatever situation you're in, we've got to learn how to call on the name of the Lord. We got to learn how to rejoice in spite of it. And we need to be able to have a peace. In other words, I'm thankful that he woke me up this morning. I may not have everything I want, but I praise God that he keeps on showing up anyhow. Amen. See, in other words, sometimes we look at the wrong thing. And what he's telling him now is keep your eyes on me. Watch this. I'm about to do something, and you may not like it. And the Bible says here, I will bring the Babylonians to power. And then he says, those fierce and restless people, they're quick-tempered and ruthless. I'm going to use them. You want me to straighten it out? I'm going to call on the Babylonians. In other words, Babylon is the next world empire that comes on the scene, and he's telling Habakkuk, since you want me to do something, I'm going to use Babylon, and they're going to spank you because you wouldn't listen. I'm going to use them, and they are ruthless. In other words, notice what he says. Their horses can outrun leopards. Their riders are fiercer than hungry wolves. Their horsemen are made up of people from distant lands, and their horse paws the ground eager for battle. They swoop down from the hills in eagles attacking their prey. Their armies love to chase violence, and when troops approach a city, everyone is terrified. I'm going to use them, Habakkuk, to solve the problem that you're challenging me on. Since you're wondering what I'm going to do, I'm going to come after you first, and I'm going to spank Israel because Israel wasn't listening. Oh, my God, I've got to be careful now to open up my mouth and ask God to move. That's why I've got to learn how to stay in my lane. I've got to learn how to say, God, you've been God too long for me to question you. That's what the challenge is in Habakkuk chapter 3. Listen, watch this, saints. Watch this. I'm not going to be long. He's asked the first question. do you care, and where are you, and how long? God says, okay, I'm going to do it this way. And notice sometimes you ask for love. Why does God allow you to run into some of the most cantankerous people? I mean, you ask God for victory, and then God allows you to go through a trial. You ask God to help you love everybody, and then you run into people who won't even speak to you. I mean, think about it. You run into situations that go counterintuitive to what you pray for, but really they don't, because you pray for joy, and God says, I'm going to allow you to experience heartache. You pray for victory, so I'm going to allow you to be in a situation where you can see what you need, and that is leaning on me. He prayed for deliverance, and God says, I'm going to use Babylon. What? Now, wait a minute. My first question is, are you going to do something? And then he has another question. Another question comes in verse 12. Notice what it says in verse 12 of Habakkuk chapter 1. See, his first question is, are you going to do something? And God says, yep. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12 says, his second question is, oh Lord, wait a minute. You are God, the Holy One of Israel, the just one. Will you let us die at the hands of these Babylonians? Now he's questioning the process that God is about to use. His first question, do you care? Are you going to do something? Yes, I'm going to do something. The second question is, why are you going to do it this way? That's first question. So first question is, are you going to do something? God said, yep, I'm about to do something. Well, this is what I'm about to do. I'm about to do this. And say, well, why are you going to do it this way? It's because I'm God. Why you got to do it that way? You don't understand right now. You see through a glass darkly. I know what you need. I know what your needs are. I know the pressure. I know the problems. But I'm doing this because I see the end from the beginning, and I know what you need, and I know what you're going through, and I know the power of God that need to be released in your life. Oh, Lord, you are the God of the universe. You're the Holy One. And notice in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12, he says, oh, Lord, you are God. He identifies him, the Holy One of Israel, the just one. Will you let us die at the hands of the Babylonians? O Rock of Israel, have you raised them up just to come and punish us? Your eyes are too pure to watch such killing. How can you allow such violence against your people? It's not fair. How can you be silent when foreigners come and slaughter your chosen ones? You wanted me to do something, and I'm doing it, but you don't like what I'm doing, because what I'm doing is going to fix you for eternity, and you don't like it. I'm doing what I'm doing because I know how much you can bear. Yes, your people have disobeyed you, but they're still more righteous than these evil Babylonians. That's what he said. Yes, we messed up, but why are you using them to chastise us? Why are you using this situation to come after us? How can you let them do what they're doing? They act like animals, like beasts without leader. They catch people with their fish hooks as men catch fish. They throw their nets over them and drag them through the streets shouting for joy. They worship their flesh hooks, nets, and other sacrifices and their weapons of war. They do this because their weapons bring them the best of everything and allow them to live in luxury. How long will they continue using swords, hooks, and nets? How long will you destroy nations and people without showing any mercy? So again, how long? Why using them? Two questions. Number one, God, are you going to do something? God, are you going to fix this problem in my life? God says, yep, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to start doing this. Well, Lord, is there another way you can do this? Why you got to do it this way? Why do we have to go through this? And we had the same question asked in the Sabbath school lesson. Why did God allow this to happen? It's because without moral choice, there can be no development. I wish there was an elixir, something we can drink, or a pill we can take. I wish there was something that we could do other than going through the trials, because trials crush you. Trials press you. They sometimes hurt, and you cry out to God, is there another way of doing this? God says, nope. This is what you got to go through. Is there, sometimes even people not in this church, is there another church I can go to where I don't have to deal with all of the mess? But the problem is, when you leave this mess and go to another mess, it's because you brought the mess, because the mess is you. I'm not saying you. And we discover quickly that no matter where we go in our environment, unless God does something for me, it's me showing up. And because I'm not fixed, I'm going to cause whatever I'm around to be messed up as well. And so this is what Habakkuk says. Number one, God, where are you? What you going to do? God said, I'm going to do it. And then he asks the question, why are you going to do it that way? Because I'm God. But then God tells him, I'm going to climb up, chapter 2. I will climb up into one of the city watchtowers, and I'll wait to see what the Lord will do. I wonder what he will say to me and what answers I will give when I'm rebuked by my arrogant complaint. He knew his complaint was arrogant. See, in other words, he said, I know what I'm asking God is arrogant, but I've got to see what God's going to do. I've got to ask the question because I don't understand. And it's all right not to understand. Just don't leave God. Let me say that again. It's all right not to understand. See, if I was one of those angels in heaven who had questions about God's character, when Lucifer started lying about him, I would have had a question, but I sure would not have walked out those pearly gates. Let me say that again. I would have stayed in my mansion with my question. I'd have been walking around with the tree of life or whatever they had to sustain them with my question. I would have not gotten outside the gate and start saying, what up now? No, it's too late now because they had sinned in the light of God's glory, and for them, their choice was final. There are always going to be answers. There are always going to be questions, but I ask you today, don't leave God because you don't understand it all. By and by, he will make it clear, but what you and I have to learn to do is what Habakkuk does in chapter 2. He says, I will climb up into one of the city's watchtowers, and I'm just going to wait to see what the Lord going to do. I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to learn how to wait on God and not run ahead of God, not question God, not doubt God, just to believe in God. And then chapter 2, verse 2 says this, then the Lord said to me, write down what I will show you in a vision. You all seen this before. Make it plain so whoever reads it can understand and a messenger can keep it in mind. And he runs. Put it in writing because the time has not come for it to happen, but it may seem slow. I like that. It may seem slow. It may seem slow. Oh, let me say that again. It may seem slow. I know what you asked me. Am I going to do something? Yes. I'm about to do it this way. Why do it that way? Well, write it down. Watch me. And it may seem slow, but wait for it because it will come and will surely take place. It will not be delayed. In other words, God says, when I'm getting ready to do, I'm going to do it and nobody can stop me. That's what happened even when he came down on this planet, died on a cruel cross, was laid in a borrowed tomb, and early Sunday morning he got up because the Roman government was saying, we're going to stop this Jesus. When they brought Pontius Pilate into the equation and the Jews and the Pharisees wanted Jesus crucified, they thought they were ending his life. They thought it was over. But you know that rolled away stone is a representation that it was like social rebellion saying, you can't stop me. In other words, God said, I'll do what I want to do. I'll do it when I want to do it, and nobody can stop me. He willingly told Pilate, nobody can take my life. He hung on Calvary until he breathed his last breath and said, it is finished. It's done. It's over. And they laid him in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, he got up, moved the stone, came out and said, I've got all power and nobody can stop me. I want you to know that's how God gonna move in all of our lives. He will not be stopped. Whatever God does, he's gonna do it right on time. He's gonna move in his own way. It may seem slow, but wait for it. That's all I want to tell somebody today. You may seem slow, but wait for it. Wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer. In other words, this is the message I want you to write. The nation that is proud will not survive. I know I'm using them now, but they won't be here forever. Trouble will not last always. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. If you can just hold on just a little while longer, if you can just be still and know that I'm God, I'll come through for you. I know you got questions, but watch this. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He asked this question, how long do men think they can go like this and not reap what they have sown? God said, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to stand up one day, and when Michael stand up, there's going to be a time of trouble the world has never seen before. I want you to just wait for it. I want you to recognize that I shall come and will come, and I will not tarry.
Well, my question is, if God did all of that and used Babylon, why did he do what he did? And how can you and I wait on the Lord? How can we better understand what we don't understand? How can we better understand God's ways even when we don't understand God's way? Well, number one, if you look in Jeremiah chapter 29, there are three things I want to say in understanding God's will, and then we'll be out of here. Jeremiah, he gives us understanding what I need to know about God's justice and understand what God means. Number one, he says in Jeremiah chapter 29, you get understanding now what happened. Habakkuk said, God, are you going to do something? Yep, I'm going to use Babylon. Why Babylon? Because I'm going to use them because they're going to do something for me that I'm going to have them do. The Bible says this in Jeremiah 29, verse 3, I gave the letter to Elasa, king of Zedekiah, who was sending to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. The letter said, this is what the Lord God of Israel says to all the people whom, number one, I allowed to be taken to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. See, the first thing I need to understand, brothers and sisters, is that God allows certain things to happen that I have no control over, and when God allows it, it's for a reason. I may not understand it. I don't know why. I don't know why somebody can get in a car and they be drunk and run into somebody and kill an innocent family. I don't know why God can allow something like that. But if it happens, God had to allow it. He sits up thrones and he pulled down thrones. God had to allow it. If somebody get elected into the White House or somebody get elected to any house, it's God allowed it. If God woke you up this morning, God allowed it. If God allowed you to sleep in death, God allowed it. Nothing happens under the watchful care of God unless God allowed it. Like Pontius Pilate, he said, the only reason why I'm going to give up my life, I'm going to allow it. Whatever happens in your life, let me remind you today, right now, God has to allow it. Nothing comes into your life without God ordaining it and allowing it. Nothing comes into your life. Whatever pain, whatever heartache, whatever problem, whatever situation, you got to be able to know that God must have allowed it. And if he allowed it to happen, he will give me enough strength. He will give me enough courage. He will give me enough faith to put down my love for him and to keep my love for him and not put it down, to say, God, though you slay me, I'm going to trust in you. See, that's what God is looking for, brothers and sisters. He's looking for individuals who understands that he's not trying to hurt us. He wants to bless us. In other words, he allowed it, but he did not ordain it, just like he did not ordain sin to exist. He allowed it. God is so powerful. Why did he make a crazy angel? He didn't make a crazy angel. He made a beautiful angel who sealed up the sun, who had all part harmony in his vocal cords, an angel that had diamonds and carbuncles resting on him, an angel that was perfect, an angel that was a covering cherub, an angel that, this angel had it going on. God did not make a crazy devil. He made a beautiful angel who made a decision, and God allowed it so that you and I can see the inevitable results of what crazy looked like. Crazy looks like this. And you know what they do in heaven? When they say this is what crazy look like, they just turn on a big screen TV and show planet Earth. This is what crazy look like. And they see all the craziness that go on this planet. And they see all the stupidity and all the foolishness. This is what crazy look like. That's the reason why he allowed it, so that when he allowed it, and I think, Kevin, you said it earlier today, God wants to put this thing on eternal security, on lockdown, so that sin, according to Nahum 1:9, won't rise up the second time. In other words, nobody will ever make that mistake again, because we will be forever convinced that God is good. I remember after 9/11, and they would have to take off the shoes. You had to take off your shoes now and go through the airport. Well, there was an incident where this brother somehow was on the plane before they start taking off the shoes, and they found out that he had matches or had something in his shoe, took it off trying to light it, and when the passengers saw it, they didn't ask questions. They all jumped him. And they said, not today. Not again. This plane is not going down. And they didn't wait. They didn't know. They weren't hesitant. They awe jumped him. And I only could imagine that if let's say, for instance, if somebody accidentally got in heaven and decided they're going to act a fool again, there'll be some scuffling going on, furniture moving. Oh, no, not again. I don't want to go through sin again. I don't want to go. Let's jump this, brother. It'll be a holy commotion, but it'll be going down. But Jesus is going to make it so that sin will never rise again and our decision will not be taken away from us. We will still have the power of choice, but we will be able to worship him and bless him, because I've been through enough hell to know that evil is bad and sin is ugly and the devil was wrong and Jesus was right. That's why every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is fair and Jesus is loving and Jesus is kind. And even in my own life, I think about all the blessings that God has given me. I think about all the doors he's opened. I think about all the blessings he showered on me. And in a panoramic view, from the time we were born to the time we died, God will show us where he was in our life. And all we can say, God is good. God is gracious. He opened up that door. He made a way out of no way. He did that and he did this. If you can only count the blessings one by one, you'll start thanking God for what he allowed in your life. He allowed it. He allowed it. He allowed it for a reason. I don't know why you got to carry that burden, but he allowed it. I don't know why you got pain in your body, but he allowed it. And if he allowed it, he'll give you grace and he'll give you mercy. Call on the name of Jesus. Cast all your cares upon him. The Bible says, look to him for strength and he will carry you through. He allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take them into captivity. The second thing is, I'm almost finished. In verse 10 of chapter 29, would help my insight, is that the second thing he did, he said this. In fact, before that, he says, while they were there, he says, now don't just sit there feeling sorry for yourself. Plan to settle down, build houses where you can, because you'll be there for 70 years. In other words, when they were taken captivity and when God allowed it, he said, you might as well make the best of it, because you're going to be there for a while. In other words, we got to make the best of it. You can sit there and complain all you want. I remember my boys growing up, and Reggie, he's here, and Rupe and Ronnie, and they always complained about who got to wash dishes and why I got to wash dishes. Well, number one, you ate all that food. You need to wash them, number one. And then I said, you got options. You got choices. Now, you can wash those dishes. You can wash them happy, or you can wash them sad. But you're going to wash some dishes. You got choices. You can watch them smiling, singing, what a fellowship, what a joy divine. Or you could be mad, talking about, why me? The fact is, saints of God, we're going to live life, and you can live it mad, or you can live it happy. You're going to go through life. You can go through life praising God for what he's given you, or be mad at what you want. Or you can start praising God and rejoicing for the mere fact that he wrapped you in your right mind, and you're here seeing all the different colors, the different hues, and being able to hear different decibels of sound, to be able to stand on your feet or wave your hand and say, God is good. That's something that God has given us in time. In other words, he said, don't sit there feeling sorry for yourself. This is what he says in the clear word. Plant little gardens and enjoy what you produce. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage and let them have sons and daughters. Have your families as you would if you were in your own land. Contribute to the peace and prosperity of the country where I allow you to be taken. That's what he's saying. In other words, you make the best of your situation. Do the best that you can. You may not be able to change it, but do the best you can and God will honor you. I know without a doubt, God has a special blessing on those of us who make it through this mess in this life, because you had faith in a God you couldn't see, you couldn't taste, you couldn't feel, you couldn't hear, but you knew he was there and you trusted him. God has a special blessing for those who walk by faith and not by sight. And that's why he told Thomas, he says, you only believe because you put your hands in these scars. You only believe because you've seen me, but blessed are they who have never seen me who trust me. So you might as well occupy until he comes. This is what he says. Don't let the self-appointed prophets who were taken into captivity with you or any other who claim to have a vision or dream from the Lord tell you anything differently. But be careful what you hear when people start trying to talk Bible, in other words. He says, they are lying to you, telling you that you're prophesying in my name, but that isn't true. I have not sent them. I, the Lord, have spoken. And then verse 10. My second thing is time. God allowed it, but there's a time limit on how long we're going to be in what we're in. See, if you can understand that, you understand. In other words, there's a time limit. There's an expiration date on your pain. See, there's an expiration date on your trial. There's an expiration date on how long you got to go through what you're going through. You may go through it and God allow it, but it won't last forever. The pain you feel in Sister Bird, it ain't going to be there forever. I know, I got pain in my left knee right now, and I keep thinking, Lord, when is it going to go away? But I'm thinking to myself, it can't be forever. One day this mortal going to put on immortality, and this corruptible going to put on incorruption. It's going to be brought to pass, or death. Where your sting at now, death? I mean, what's up now, death? I can't wait. I can't wait till I stop feeling the pain in my right wrist and my left knee and my left shoulder. He said, Pastor, you pretty messed up. Yeah, it's called oxidation. It's called free radical damage. It's called aging. You're getting old, boy. You know things are crazy when you start thinking your Bible. I remember the first time I thought there was something wrong with my Bible, and I was looking at it. I said, I got to take this Bible back to the store. And they said, what's wrong? They seem like the words are moving off the page, and I didn't understand that I needed some indicators, you know. It's called aging. But one day, this too shall come to pass. One day, this shall be over. And that's what he wanted us to know. Number one, God allowed it. Number two, there's a time limit. He says, when 70 years, verse 10, when 70 years are up, I will keep my promise. See, they went into Babylonian captivity, but God says, I'm going to keep my promise. And when 70 years are up, not 2 years, not 3 years, not 4 years, don't let anybody come and tell you it's going to, you know, reach up and grab it. Your season has come. Your time, no, your time comes when I say it's time. When the 70 years are up, I will keep my promise, and I'll bring you back to your own land. So God says, there's only time that's going to happen. When time expires, I'm going to keep my promise. One thing about it, brothers and sisters, remember, God going to keep his promise. God going to keep his promise. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house, there are many mansions. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That's a promise. So this is not a home. Lastly, as they come, I'm done. We can play this music and make a commitment to God. See, this is where this text is taken from. In fact, we quote this text all the time, but when we miss the context, we miss the blessing. God allowed them, Habakkuk, to go into captivity. God had a time in how long they were going to be in captivity. But this is what God says in verse 11 of Jeremiah 29, which we always quote. It's a beautiful promise. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace to give you a future. That's where it's found, right in that text. Jeremiah 29. In other words, God says, I allowed you to go through this. I got a timetable on it. And then he says, I know the thoughts I'm thinking about you. Even while you were going into captivity, I knew how I felt about you. I know how I feel about you when you go through your pain. I know how I feel about you when you go through your trial. I know how I feel about you. I have not forsaken you. I have not turned my back on you. I am not a deistic God that got you started and walked away from you. No, I'm right here with you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. And I want you to know that you've always been on my heart. There's never been a time when I've not thought about you. I've carried you in my heart forever. Can you imagine this omniscient God who has no lag time in time? He doesn't look at time linearly. No, he doesn't look at time 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds. He sees it all at the same time, which means you and I have always been on the heart of God. He's always thinking about you. You are not forsaken. You have not forgotten. Whatever you're going through in your life, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're up or down, whether you're in or out, no matter where you are, the fact that you're made in the image of God says he got a plan for you. I know the plans I have for you. I will help you, not hurt you, and I will give you a future and a hope. And then he goes on to say this to us today. You will call on me and I will answer you. I like that. He said, you will call on me. Are you calling on him today? Brothers and sisters, I tell you again, we can't control what's going to happen. God will allow certain things to happen, but he said, I got a plan for you. And he says, the plan is, I got you a future, and you're going to call on me, and I will answer. And he says, you will talk to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me as you search for me with all your heart. You will find me, and I will bring you back to your own land, and I will gather you from all the nations and places to which I've scattered you. I will bring you back to the place from which you were taken into exile and give you back all that was yours. And nobody can take that from you. That's what God is saying to you and me today. Do you believe God's word today? I will give you all of it. I will give you, and then that's why Habakkuk at the end of his chapter, and you need to study it for yourself. There's only three chapters. Read all of them together in different versions. That's your homework, or that's your church work. At the end of chapter 3, you know what Habakkuk says? This is what Habakkuk says. He starts out questioning God, asking God, why is he doing it a certain way? And by the time he finished, you know what Habakkuk says? And this is where God wants us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no wheat, though all the sheep die and there are no cattle in the stalls, I will still be joyful and sing. Oh, you missed that. In other words, let me say it to my, though you go to the refrigerator and there's no food in the refrigerator, you just got laid off from your job, you don't have a car to drive and no gas to put in it, and though you don't have your next meal, Habakkuk says, in spite of all that, I'm going to sing and be joyful and be glad. I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be glad that God is my Savior. The Lord is my strength, whom I shall fear. The Lord is my light, of whom I shall not be afraid. I shall be afraid. In other words, he said, in spite of my condition, I'm going to still rejoice. I'm going to still praise God. I'm going to still look to the hills from which cometh my help. I'm going to still lift up my hands when it feels like I can't lift up my hands. I'm going to still trust God, even though I can't even see God. I'm going to wait on the Lord because I know God will never let me down. That's what Habakkuk is saying today. And the question that I've asked myself, are you there yet? Are you there yet? Are you ready to trust God in spite of your pain, your heartache, your trials? Are you ready to trust God when you don't even understand why God is doing a certain thing in your life? I don't know why, but I can tell you this, God allowed it. There's a timetable and expiration date on it. And God has a plan for your life. I know that. And today you want to say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Why don't you stand with me? If you believe that today, if you believe the word of God today, and you want to say, Lord, I want to be like Habakkuk. I want to get to the point where I can rejoice and I can be glad. I can sing because you have been a good God to me. That's why you're standing. You've been great, God. In spite of all that I'm going through, in spite of all that you allowed, in spite of the fact there's a timetable, in spite of the fact that I know you got a plan, Lord, I want you to be the God of my life. I'm praying. The praise team, prepare to come and sing us out. I'm praying now for us. Father God, you see your children standing. Lord, you are the God of the universe. And I just wanted to express to us today and share with us that, yeah, we got a lot of questions. There are a lot of things going on this planet that we don't understand. There is things that's happening in the politics, and there's things happening in our own personal lives and in our private lives. There's private personal pain. And Lord, there's a lot going on. Somebody was ready to throw in the towel and say, I quit, I give up, I can't do it any longer. But Lord, you told Habakkuk to write the vision, that it may not come right away, but you said the just shall live by faith. So, Father, those of us who are standing today, I pray that you'll cover us. I pray that you'll give us the grace to know that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us, and you're with us always, even until the end of the world. We love you today, God, and we know that you're not finished with us yet. And I pray that every believer who's standing right now, even those who are watching online, that we make that commitment to trust you no matter what. It's going to get rough sometimes, but you said you are with us always, even unto the end of the world. Lord, strengthen our faith, and may we all, Lord, be ready to see you in peace one day when you come. And even while we're standing, Father, if there's a believer here that has not gone all the way with you and want to say, yes, God, I want to walk with you by faith and go down into the watery grave and be a baptized member of this church. While we're praying this prayer in the last few seconds, there may be one today who want to say, yes, God. And if they're so, you want to say, I want to be baptized. I want to join this church. I want to walk with Jesus. Why don't you just raise your hand and we'll acknowledge you. We're praying now, God, if there's somebody here who want to say yes to Jesus today. You're not by yourself. In fact, the Bible says this is the Lord's fight. This is not your battle. God will fight this battle for you and with you. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the grace of God. I thank you for the mercy of God. I thank you, Father. How long? Not long. Soon and very soon, he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Give us the faith, give us the patience to wait on you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.